Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. It is great to be with you tonight. Carlos Ortiz is here. And I am so thrilled to be on the Infinity Sports Network once again. Find us on the Odyssey app. Catch us live, use the rewind feature as well, and Sirius XM channel 375. No NBA Finals tonight. No NHL Stanley Cup tonight. Lots of baseball tonight, and we are going to discuss some baseball here tonight. Other things I'll get to are a couple of different victory laps that I need to take. Forgive me, but I'm that kind of guy. Aaron Rodgers is the most pretentious person in the world, part 78, and I need to get into that with you. And Giannis appears to be very eager to win another finals with the Bucks. So I got my sneakers on, and I'm doing some stretches, and I'll be doing a victory lap on that in a little bit, and I'm going to keep running until I can't breathe no more, because I'm sick of all of you trying to tell me otherwise. I'm sick of beat writers trying to tell me otherwise. I'm sick of insiders trying to tell me otherwise. I'm sick of fans trying to tell me otherwise. I know what's going on. You don't. So I'm stretching them out tonight. We will start with some baseball, look at some potential trade candidates and which teams may be sellers. There's a lot of teams in the middle. What I've noticed when I do the standings every day, we have the helmets on our TV stand, and I do the standings with my son every day, the full league standings. National League, American League, all the divisions, we all bundle them together. But what I've noticed is there's a lot of teams in the middle that are kind of straddling the line between what are we and what are we going to be? What do we want to be? And it's interesting because you look at a team like the Nationals, they're 30 and 35. And for them, that's pretty good. They're on a upward trajectory is how most people say it. They're enjoying this. They're like on the realm of contention even. That's pretty cool. And then you have the Red Sox, who are just a couple of games better, one at 33 and 36, and they think it's all ending. They think everything is coming down and crashing to pieces. The Braves, with their slow start, oh, they've still got time. They've still got a lot of time. They're the Braves. They got a great young team, a young nucleus. They'll be fine. They're 28 and 37. The Orioles, my World Series pick in the American League, 26 and 39. How did that happen? And then you got teams that are probably going to be the bottom five of the standings for the next 15 years in the Pirates, Marlins, Athletics, White Sox, and the Rockies. You've got teams playing very well. The Tigers still have the best record in baseball. The longer that goes, the less fluky it is. 44 and 24. The Mets, the Cubs, the Yankees, the Dodgers, all teams that we would expect to be on the top at the top. Then you have teams that are sometimes good, and then they go on losing streaks, and what are we? You have teams that are pretty good, but their fan base is demented. Philadelphia Phillies at 38 and 29. Geez, you get swept one time by the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you want the whole thing to come crashing down, and then you beat the Chicago Cubs the other night. Is that game final? Did we get a Cubby victory for you tonight,
Carlos?
Sure
did. They double up the Phillies, 8-4, your final there.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
And that's how you take care of business, baby.
The team I took for Survivor this week is the Houston Astros, and they are losing to the White Sox. 4-1.
Did you survive last week even?
Well, you get three strikes. you get three strikes. So I took the Cubs and the Mariners, and the Cubs would have got me. So I kind of wasted the Cubs because, you know, they're pretty good. But then the Mariners lost a bunch of games to the Orioles and the Angels, and I think they only won one game last week. So that was lame. Woof. I'm in a baseball survivor. You just need to win half of the games that week. It's like $50 to get in, and there's like 900 people in it. So if you win, it's like a full-time salary for a year. I don't know how the funds get distributed, though. I don't know if someone just PayPals you 30 grand. That seems sketch, right? That seems like a drug deal.
Oh, I wish someone would give me a drug deal.
Yeah, but I just talk about it to waste everybody's time because I'm not going to be winning this thing. And if I did win, then I would tell you that I didn't because I wouldn't want you to know that I just got 30 grand lump sum to my PayPal. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I wouldn't tell you that I won the survivor pool, but there'd be signs. There'd be signs. I would start wearing jeans to work instead of sweatpants that I sleep in. Well, there'd be signs. Okay, I might start to spruce things up a little bit. So my World Series pick is terrible, and I wanted to take a look. We're going to have a mini draft because drafts are exciting on the radio. We're going to have a mini draft where we are going to take each four teams to win the World Series. So eight teams will be selected here in this mini draft: Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz. And Carlos, all you have to do is give me a team that you would like to select to win the World Series. We can revisit this. We can redraft this at some point. But for June 10th, this will be the opening of this draft. And your first selection will be the Detroit Tigers. Okay, I'll take the Dodgers. Thank you.
Are you really picking for me?
No. Who are you going to pick?
I'm going to take the Los Angeles Dodgers.
The World Series draft.
All yeah, right. Dude. So Carlos, if you're going to give me a first pick, I got to take the team with the biggest war chest. I mean, I'd be absolutely crazy to pass on the Dodgers. It's like trading away Luka Doncic.
Yes, for nothing. Now, the Dodgers right now sit in fifth place in the entire Major League Baseball. So they have the fifth best record. They would have the third best record in the National League and the best record, of course, in the National League West, although the Padres and Giants are right on their tails. The Dodgers at 40-27. Still, I really thought, like, what is the Rockies record? 12-53? I thought the Dodgers would be, like, 53-12 right now. I thought they would be breaking records. I thought they would win more than 120 games. I just thought they would put the pedal to the metal and just be dominant wire to wire. I've been wrong about that. But if you're going to pick a World Series team, I think that's a pretty good place to start with the LA Dodgers. So the Tigers have the best record in baseball, then the Mets, then the Cubs, then the Yankees, then the Dodgers, then the Giants, Padres, and Phillies. So those are the top eight based on record. But if I'm going to take a World Series team, if you're going to take the Dodgers, I would probably want to look American League because I think it's a little weaker than the National League. So I would then have to take the New York Yankees.
Wow.
At 39-25, I would take the Yankees right now. Well, because I think the Dodgers are coming out of the National League. So do I want to take a National League team or do I want to take an American League team? And I would take the Yankees.
That's a little surprising, a little shade to the toit.
Well, we both are, neither of us are picking Detroit.
I would have if I was picking second.
Okay, but, well, you're picking third.
I'm picking third, and I'm going to hedge my bet and stay in the National League. I'm going to take the New York Mets.
All right, so you're going to take the New York Mets. All right, so I'm taking the Yankees, and you're taking the Mets. How's Juan Soto gate? Is everybody smiling? Is he chipper? Is he
happy? Be because he was the reason the Mets were able to tie the game today. They were down against the Nationals. He tied it, and Mets went on to win the game. So I'm thinking everybody's happy with Juan Soto, and I think Juan Soto in turn is happy with everybody else.
I don't know. He did not have a home run against the Colorado Rockies in Coors Stadium.
Well, he had one today, two for four.
Okay, he's only got three home runs this month. Okay, he's only got 12 home runs total. He's getting paid $800 million. He should be leading the league right now in home runs.
He should have 83 home runs right now.
He should have already broken the record.
Correct.
I 100% agree with you. If you're going to take the Mets, then I am going to take... So I could hedge my American League bet as well. You know, the American League, there's outside of the Yankees and the Tigers.
That's
the
it.
Next best team is the Astros at 36-29.
Ugh.
Blue Jays at 36-30, Twins at 35-30. Just a lot of these teams that you don't think of them as World Series teams, but maybe one of them does have a push. All right, so you took the Dodgers, I took the Yankees, you took the Mets. I guess I would have to take the Cubs.
Damn it, I'll trade you.
I'm going to take the Chicago Cubs with my second pick, fourth overall.
All right.
So I'm going to take the Cubs.
Of course, I was going to take the Cubs next, but at this point, I'd be silly to overlook what the Detroit Tigers are doing. They are only two teams in an American League, just like you said, and with the Yankees off the board, I would have to take the Trois.
Yeah, the Tigers, what they're doing is actually very impressive. This is a team that's kind of built from within. They didn't really go the quick fix route. They didn't really go major free agent route. They've had patience with their guys, like a Casey Mize, the pitcher, you know, Riley Green, Torque, Spencer Torkelson. Their first-round picks from 18, 19, 20, all developing and becoming big pieces of their team. They went and got Jack Flaherty after trading him. They went and got Gleyber Torres. They went and got Javier Baez, who's like playing very well in center field. So they've really built things, I think, an impressive way. And if you've been a Tigers fan, you know, one thing that's interesting in baseball is when you get this group of guys that you can follow through the minor leagues, then to have them come up to the majors and perform well and perform together. There's few things like it in sports because you get to really watch these guys grow and then see the result of all of that time and that process. If you're a Tigers fan, you've been waiting for a year like this since you started to draft those guys 6-7 years ago. So you've got the Tigers. You had the number one pick. Your group of teams right now is much better than mine. So the Tigers off the board, Mets off the board, Cubs off the board, Yankees off the board, Dodgers off the board. Gosh, all right. I think I'm going to take the Phillies. I'm going to take the Phillies with my third pick. A lot of their fans are all tied up and twisted in knots, and it's going to be very Philadelphia for them to then, like, do good despite the ire of their fan base. So I'm going to take the Phillies. Right now, they have the eighth best record in baseball, actually tied for seventh or 38-29. I'm going to take the Phillies.
Okay. Are we still continuing the draft here?
Yeah, one more round we could do.
All right, one more round. Well, you taking the Phillies leaves a good amount of options for me. Now, do I want to take the Astros, which are probably that second tier, that first team of the second tier in the American League, or do I want to go for one of the toughest divisions in baseball and in the NL West and take a team outside of the Dodgers? And that's where I'm going to go. It's just a matter of which one of these teams do I want, the Giants or the Padres? I'm going to go with the Padres. I'm going to go with the Padres because I feel like, you know, they realize that their window is closing, and the Giants are a little more surprising. I think we all knew they'd be the third place team. I just didn't think they were going to be this good, and I don't think they know that either. So they might not add too much on the trade deadline. So I'll go with the Padres.
All right, and then for my last pick, the obvious choice here would be the Giants at 38-28. I'm going to bypass them. I'm going to bypass the Astros as well, even though it would only be the third American League team taken. I'm going to take a team that has been playing better than expectation, but historically, they've been like Major League Baseball's version of the Indiana Pacers, where they come back and they can't keep getting away with this, and the phrase devil magic has been tied up with them quite a bit. You know them well. I know them well. I will take, for the purposes of this draft, and the winner of this draft gives the other person $50,000. of Zach Gelb's money, but I am going to take the St. Louis Cardinals as my fourth selection. Right now, they're 36-30, but again, a history of devil magic leads me to want to select them just in case. So Carlos has clearly got the better squad here, the Dodgers, Mets, Tigers, and Padres. I've got the Yankees, Cubs, Phillies, and Cardinals. We can revisit this a few times throughout the season and just kind of see what we would be interested in terms of the World Series. So baseball top of mind tonight. We'll have our official power rankings tomorrow, but the Tigers going fifth. It's nothing against Detroit. I mean, they're having an incredible year. I'm going to take the Cubs and the Yankees. You took the Mets and the Dodgers before them. And Detroit, Detroit should be celebrating their team, and other people should be taking notice of what they're doing. Because, again, it's not like, oh, they were in first that one day. They've been in first for a while now pretty consistently, and they're playing good baseball all over the field, pitching, batting, fielding, all of that stuff. They beat the Orioles tonight 5-3, got another good performance there. Kind of went bullpen day today, but the Tigers getting the victory to improve to 44-24. So that is our initial World Series draft. Take a look at some of these teams that are on the outside looking in. And once we get closer to the trade deadline in baseball is great because it's about a month and a half away, but radio shows and sports shows around the country, when you're talking about your baseball team, you're always talking trade deadline. Any time that we would have a guest on, it didn't matter if it was June, May, or even April. We'd talk about what does this team need to acquire at the trade deadline. And it's always better to me, I think, if you can try to move that trade deadline up in your mind. Try to get longer period of time with some of your targets. And there's a lot of teams that are still kind of figuring out what they're going to be at the end of July. But there's some teams right now that would be probably well-suited to start to abandon ship. So we'll take a look at some of those teams in a minute here as well. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Just getting started tonight. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Every Tuesday, a nation sits on pins and needles to see who we are going to give our Defensive Player of the Week award to. And last night, a candidate emerged, and it was very clear who it would be. Our Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union, where their members are the mission. Again, that's the Navy Federal Credit Union. Our Defensive Player of the Week had a pretty impressive catch last week, but the catch that he had last night was a catch that you are going to see on highlight reels or just like playing on billboards and maybe even the first hologram put on the surface of the moon. It was that impressive. It was A's rookie Denzel Clark as the call was delivered by NBC Sports California.
And this one to center field. Denzel Clark on the move back after he stepped
over
home plate and makes another catch.
Oh, my God.
Back-to-back weeks where he wins the electric play of the week, and he's already on the leaderboard for this week.
You go ahead and book it. I've heard the list. I've seen the list of the greatest catches you're ever going to see in your life. If you don't have room for this one on your list, we're watching two different sports.
And we'll always remember that as happening in Sacramento, California. Denzel Clark, your Defensive Player of the Week. Well, that's what kind of helped make it so great, was because there's no outfield seats. He caught it in front of a rock structure, just in this minor league ballpark is where he caught it. So, actually, no, I believe this was in Los Angeles. I got that wrong two nights in a row. Don't hold me to that, okay? Strike that from the podcast. Will you do that for me? Will you take it off the podcast, please?
Done.
Okay.
I just got to remember.
I feel like this is such a minor error that I made, but I feel like I committed a crime. Like, I feel like I have sinned. Because I just assume there's no seats out there, so it must be in Sacramento. I don't know what the tapestry of Angel Stadium looks like. I've never been there. I barely even see the stadium on TV. I didn't know there was a waterfall out in center field, but there is. So, again, I will do... Am I getting suspended? Wow, 2 weeks paid? Oh, darn. Clark, by the way, Denzel Clark, number 6 prospect in the A's organization, didn't start playing baseball until he was 10. Cousins got him into it. His cousins being Josh Naylor, first baseman with the Diamondbacks, and Bo Naylor, Guardians catcher. So
a real family affair in the Major League Baseball for Clark and the Naylor boys.
And Denzel Clark, your defensive player of the week here, courtesy of The Bart Winkler Show and brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union, where, again, their members are the mission. So as we get closer to the trade deadline, and we're about 5 weeks away, but it's definitely the time where you start to talk about it and where the articles come out and you start to think about, okay, which teams are going to add which players, which teams in the middle are going to become buyers and sellers, which team could probably start trading players now. There's a lot of teams that we're not sure what they're going to do because we don't know what they're going to look like in a few weeks. The Tampa Bay Rays have a team that could win the AL East if they go on a run or at least get a wild card, but they could also be trade deadline sellers. They could trade a Brandon Lowe at second base. They could trade other various people, maybe Zach Little, a pitcher. So they could have some guys. The Red Sox could be a team that end up selling. They signed Aroldis Chapman, 1 year, $10 million deal over the winter. He's been really good. Past 15 outings, a 1.29 ERA. But the Red Sox, despite some signs of life against the Yankees, they're still under 500. If they can't turn it around, maybe you see some deals. The Diamondbacks could have some guys that they could trade if they don't stay in contention. The Diamondbacks could be moving different players, whether that's Merrill Kelly or Suarez at third base. They could trade a couple of guys. They lost Corbin Burns recently for the season with a torn UCL. Their ace pitcher coming by way of Baltimore and Milwaukee. So those could be some guys that they trade. But then you look at the teams that are in trouble right now. There's teams that are certainly, you could start trading guys ASAP. One of the things with the Rockies, one of the problems there, is that the Rockies don't have a lot of real great trade targets. They don't have a lot of guys that are worthy to get a big haul in return. It's not like they're this team that has some guys that, hey, they just happen to be bad. This is a team that's been bad now for a few years after trading away whatever pieces they had left, and they don't have a lot of really desirable parts. They've got some guys they could move, some guys that will get moved. Relievers are always somebody that teams are going to be looking for no matter what. Jake Bird could be a guy in this particular case. He's been really good this past month. He's been exceptional. He's allowed just one earned run over 13 appearances since May 7th. His ERA is 0.56. So he's been really good. A great strikeout to walk ratio has been really good. So if you're going to look at the worst teams in the league, they could start trading now. And that's what I would always do. If I'm interested in this guy, I'd go get him now. I would go get him now. You buy another 7 weeks of him. Everybody's going to be trading at the deadline. But the sooner you can get these guys, and there's some teams that are like, you don't need to wait 7 weeks to trade somebody. The Colorado Rockies have 12 wins. It's the 10th of June. They don't need to be waiting. In that same token, the White Sox, they're terrible. Luis Robert Jr., the center fielder, he could get moved potentially. They are very bad. They could start moving guys. They could move some relievers. They just had a lottery ticket with Adrian Hauser, who they brought in from free agency, and he had a really nice first outing. Maybe that is something. Those are the kind of things those kind of teams should be doing, is take guys that have been cut, take guys that have been dismissed, put him on your team, see if anything can happen in the majors, and then you trade him. That's the way that you should be functioning when you are a terrible, terrible baseball team for many years running. The A's, another team, they could be looking to deal some players. The Athletics could be looking to move on from different that could be a Luis Urias at second base. They've got Jacob Wilson, who's eyeing a batting title. They've got some other power. Are they going to build around this core, or are they going to be looking for big moves in the near future? So some of these guys, like the A's, actually got off to a pretty decent start. You know, this offseason they decided to actually spend money for the first time in 15 years and be somewhat competitive. I think they want to ramp up where that when they do move to Las Vegas, even though I still don't think they're ever going to, they want to be able to have a team worthy of you going there. I don't think that's going to be the case, but we'll see what happens with the A's. For everybody else, you know, the Marlins are 25 and 40. They could start moving players. I don't think they're going to be in contention. Sandy Alcantara, rather, he has had a bad year. The ERA is 7.89. Maybe that took out a lot of the trade value, but I think a lot of teams would be interested on saying, we'll see what we can do out of him. A lot of these teams, you notice, they trade for pitchers, and all of a sudden they've got these labs where they develop, or they notice the one tweak that they need to notice, and suddenly somebody that was struggling somewhere becomes really good elsewhere. So they could be a team that moves, and that was going to be a big target for a lot of players. Maybe that changes. The Pirates are 27 and 41. Could that be a team that's looking to move on? The big question there is Paul Skenes. And Paul Skenes absolutely cannot get traded. Now, they've got other guys, whether it's relievers or maybe other guys, position players, but they can't trade Paul Skenes. Even if they get a Godfather offer, you got to build around something at some point. David Bednar, he's been a reliever, got sent down, came back up, doing all right, got another year of eligibility arbitration-wise remaining. That's typically a guy that the Pirates do end up trading. But they've got Paul Skenes, do not want to see him dealt, want to see Pittsburgh to start to build something. And then you're looking at a couple of teams that, you know, did not expect to find themselves in this position, in the Atlanta Braves and the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles, at this point, almost need to just say, let's just move on from 2025. It is not good for them. They lost again the night to the Tigers. They're 26 and 39. They've got a first baseman that could get some looks in Ryan O'Hearn. They just need to think about possibly the future. I think what they're going to do is wait until the very end because, you know, there's still 7 weeks of the trade deadline, but this has been a really bad year. And then the Braves. The Braves is another team that we didn't expect the Braves to be 28 and 37 at this point. Maybe they've got some pieces that they can sell off as well. So never too early to look at the trade deadline. Looking at it a little bit here to kick off the show, Bart Winkler, show on the Infinity Sports Network. I want to say a special real quick, screw you, to the United States soccer team, the male soccer team. I don't know what the hell's going on with this team, but they had an exhibition tonight. They had a friendly tonight. They lost to Switzerland 4-0. They're going to be in a tournament starting this weekend. It was a tune-up for this tournament. It's the Gold Cup. So they play different countries in North America and Central America. That makes up the CONCACAF region. So they've got group play against Trinidad and Tobago, Haiti, and then they usually invite somebody else randomly. So they've got Saudi Arabia coming up next week in Texas. But these games start this weekend. They're on a four-game losing streak. They lost to Switzerland. They lost to Turkey over the weekend. They lost to Canada in the Nations League third-place game. And they lost to Panama, which, I mean, every time the United States loses, it's like they lost to a country that's, you know, got the population of Delaware. And somehow those nations are building teams that can beat the United States. Do our best athletes play soccer? No, I mean, LeBron James and Steph Curry and Aaron Judge, you know, he can be a great goalie. You know, you put some of these guys, no, they don't. But still, if you got a population of 2 million and then you got, and your best athletes play, and then you got a population of 350 million, You can't come up with 11 guys that can beat Panama? That can score a goal against Panama? So, that all, you know, I'm a big USA, USMNT guy. Always have been. But they've been very, very disappointing. And they've got a big tournament coming up here this summer. They, of course, have the World Cup coming up next summer. Really, just the lowest expectations possible for a team that I did think, you know, you ask me as a 12-year-old, I thought, oh, yeah, the USA will win a World Cup someday. And then I also thought I'd be on the team. So, you know, I was just a boy. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Here's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Thrown behind, but somehow caught. And now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable.
The biggest voices in sports.
I have to look in the mirror and right. I have to be a better owner.
The heartbreak.
This team has nothing to be ashamed of. As you mentioned, yeah, they're disappointed. But they have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
The celebrations.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is Tuesday, June 10th. 2025, and we'll start with, I guess, the introduction of the day. Aaron Rodgers, the long national nightmare, continues. This time, he's Pittsburgh's problem. He officially became his Steeler one-year deal, and he spoke in front of the media, which is his favorite pastime, and we're all suckers. We're going to listen to every word that he says and analyze it three times till Sunday. Bart, let's start with Aaron Rodgers. And here is on how long it's going to take him to learn the offense.
I mean, those are two different things. The offense, it's a lot of the similar terms from the Shanahan offense, so I got a lot of stuff already booked. There's a couple new words and different things formationally, but I'll have it figured out, you know, in a couple weeks probably.
I've got a few things to say about Aaron Rodgers. I want to hear more of what he had to say. The big news, I think, is... Well, there's two big news stories. One, he looks very old in that uniform. I don't know if it's the black or what. But this whole... He got married and didn't tell anybody?
Yeah.
And please be aware that I'm aware that... Some of the complaints I have about Aaron Rodgers are very unimportant. It is unimportant what I see and how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. But because I feel like I see him correctly, I feel like everybody looks at him a certain way, but I see the true Aaron Rodgers. And so I'm just trying to spread my gospel and get as many converts as I can. So I would like to, once again, rehash my favorite segment, nitpick Aaron Rodgers' personality. And I'll do that coming up.
I cannot wait. We have plenty of Rodgers audio to get to. While Rodgers is in the building, TJ Watt is not. He's not attending the Pittsburgh Steelers mandatory minicamp this week. He's entering the final year of his current contract. He also skipped voluntary OTAs earlier this offseason as, you know, obviously he's in the midst of trying to negotiate a new deal. Here's head coach Mike Tomlin talking about Watt's absence.
Certainly we'd like him to be here, but certainly not surprised by where we are. We've expressed the desire to get the business done. He has as well. And so we'll continue to work. We've been here before.
I wish there was some sort of clause in these contracts or in sports where this kind of stuff didn't happen, or maybe both sides were just better about preventing it from happening. It really is, I don't know if it's my least favorite, but it's certainly up there in terms of sports stories that we have the ability to cover. Guy holds out, you know, and then different cities from all over the country are thinking, well, what would it take for the Texans to trade for TJ Watt? You think we could get him? And then, you know, we're doing that. And then what usually happens is they come to an agreement and they work out a deal. And we just have to watch all of the negotiation play out in public. I don't think TJ Watt is going to hold out. I think he'll get signed, and I don't think he'll get traded. Same with Trey Hendrickson. You know, this is all boy crying wolf situation, and I'm not entertaining it. So, yeah, he wasn't there today. He'll get fined. And then the team's like, well, we'll waive the fine or we'll give you the fine back. This is just all part of the negotiation. And everybody else gets all excited that, oh, my favorite team, I get TJ Watt. You're not going to. He will be a Steeler this year and beyond.
Yeah, you mentioned those fines. If Watt misses all 3 days of minicamp, he's going to be subject to nearly 100 racks. That's 100K. That's 100 grand if you weren't familiar with any of my vernacular in fine. So that's a lot of money to try to sit out and get more money. Well, here's a guy that actually did show up. Kirk Cousins, he's at Atlanta Falcons mandatory minicamp despite asking for a trade earlier this offseason. Cousins is in the second year of his four-year, $180 million contract that he signed with the Falcons this past offseason. However, he lost his starting quarterback job to Michael Penix, who will presumptively be the starter coming into this season. And here is Cousins, despite the trade request and perhaps ill will, the courtesy of Fox 5 when he spoke with the media, he says he still wants the team to win.
Well, I think right now it's about, you know, the situation I'm in and being the best I can. And hopefully, you know, in February, we as an organization are holding up the Lombardi Trophy. And how we do that, you know, it's just more important as a team. We do that some way, somehow. So that's where the focus has to be, that we as an organization win a championship, and each one of us individually has to, you know, do our part in that to get there.
Still pretty wild he's on this team, but I don't know why he would say anything different. If you're Kirk Cousins, there's two scenarios that are going to happen. Somebody is going to have a quarterback injury and you're going to get traded, or you might have to step in if something happens with Michael Penix. Now, he'll either get traded or he won't, but if he's sitting there pouting, then that's going to diminish the trade value for a team that wants you, and then they might not want you, so then you might never get to play. And then if you're going to sit there and pout and be a bad teammate, by the time you have to go in and spot start or even pick up a few games, you know, the team's not going to be able to rally around you. So he's doing everything right. The Falcons seem to think that they're smarter than everybody else here, that they're going to play this card, this Kirk Cousins card, at the perfect time. What will probably happen is somebody will get hurt, and they'll say, can you give us Kirk Cousins? And Atlanta will be like, yeah, for a third. And they'll be like, how about for like a sixth? And that's probably what's going to go down at some point this season.
Yeah. I'm surprised the Saints haven't gone in on it, but the Saints also don't have any flexibility. They're in cap hell. Let's go to Houston. Let's go to CJ Stroud. We spoke on a Bulls and Blitz a couple of nights ago in regards to CJ Stroud's like shoulder. His head coach was asked, DeMeco Ryans, if he had surgery. He says CJ Stroud looks good. Well, we finally get to hear from CJ Stroud himself. Here he is talking about his shoulder, as well as the fact that he's been able to work everything out in the offseason and is in the best shape he's ever been.
Yeah, I mean, I was already throwing, you know, before you guys see me out there pretty normally. I think y'all don't have much to talk about, so y'all just, everything is blown up in off season. So I'm fine, man. I'm really okay. The goal was just to be bigger, faster, stronger like every off season, but be more intentional about it. So have more fluidity in my hips, lose a couple pounds, run faster. And I got all those done. I think I PR'd on almost everything this off season, which has been really dope.
Great. Dope. Excellent. Yeah, we talked about the Texans a little bit last night. It's kind of their division to lose, although the fun fact that we found out was they've made the playoffs 8 different times. That's all come back-to-back years, and then the next year they're abysmal. So they've made the playoffs, and then they won 2 games, and then the other times they've won 4 games. So do we expect? I don't know that I saw you wearing a sign that says, I'm Carlos Ortiz and the Chiefs aren't going to make a playoffs this year. Should I maybe put one for me and the Texans? Because that might be, I'm just going where the math is. That might have to be my hot take.
Way to go out on a limb there, the Texans, so not making the playoffs. Whoa. Big spender, you.
Look at their division. Who's winning it from them? The Birmingham Stallions?
Oh, I was going to say the Jaguars, and then I realized how dumb that would sound. Well, we'll actually stay in that division in the AFC South. Again, quarterback news that we spoke about before in the Bulletin Blitz, Anthony Richardson, he's going to visit a surgeon. This might actually be really rough sledding for Anthony Richardson. Shane Steichen and his head coach with another update on his young quarterback.
There's no timetable on the return, but yeah, we're just going to do his rehab, and once the doctor's clear him to throw, and we'll ease him back into it.
There was a report that he's going out to do like a second opinion or...
Yeah, he went out to LA to get a second opinion, yep.
Is that kind of standard? Or
yeah, I think a lot of guys get a lot of opinions for sure.
Yeah, I just feel like every time Richardson's been hurt, the Colts want him to stay hurt. Like, I feel that whole organization regrets drafting him number 4 overall a few years ago. They want Daniel Jones to be the quarterback of that team. They wanted Joe Flacco last year. Just he was really bad when he did take over. They don't believe in him. He needs a change of scenery. He needs to get the hell out of there. It's the Bart Winkler Show. We'll be back. 888-710-4476.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.